Welcome to this episode of TechLink in Conversation. I'm Eddie Grant, a director at Technical Connection. During our conversations, we seek to review the topical bulletins published on TechLink, our knowledge management tool for all things tax, trusts, pensions, and of course, much, much more. Today, though, we are going to do something slightly different. Across the profession, there are many people going beyond diploma and even beyond chartered. Several universities have master's qualifications and students have undertaken significant research. Our interview today explores the research, its findings, but also the journey. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Simon Neville, who completed his dissertation in 2023. Hello, Simon, thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Hi, Eddie. I'm very well, thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me here today.
Well, I'm really pleased you've been able to spare some time. I always like to start off with what I regard is the most important question, is what's going to get you through this conversation. So I'm actually going to break my normal traditional tea, and I've gone and got myself a flat white coffee. So what's going to get you through?
Well, probably consistent with the time of year, I'm just coming off a bout of man flu, and which reintroduced me to hot water, lemon and honey, right, which I currently do have, and I'm very much enjoying, I must say. So very much an underrated hot drink.
Brilliant, brilliant. I have a spoonful of honey every single day. Apparently it's supposed to do you a world of good.
I'm fairly much better, so I can definitely concur.
Fantastic. So thank you for sharing a copy of your research in advance. That was really helpful. And I noted the title, A Critical Analysis of the Effectiveness and Influence of Financial Advisors Working with Entrepreneurs on Business Exits. So that sounds a really curious and fascinating subject. So I'm intrigued. How did you decide what your research was going to be on?
So I've been in this career in financial services in one shape or form for over 30 years, well over 20 years of that being a regulated financial advisor. And throughout my career, both as being employed and self-employed, I've worked with entrepreneurs and very much like working with them. And I think one of the main reasons for that is that they are, I guess, different personalities to other types of demographic. They're risk takers. You know, they're not reliant on, you know, on a monthly income, for example. They've got to, you know, grow a business which is going to support their lifestyle. So I've always admired that. Come to the point where I started my own business myself. And then looking at the wider community, the SME sector is massive. So it really started me sort of like thinking, well, how does the financial advice sector, you know, work with them? And what is the perception of the financial advice sector as a whole, not just financial advisors, you know, to entrepreneurs? Because anecdotally, I was on the opinion that the sector, the financial advice sector, that is, doesn't really appreciate or support entrepreneurs, maybe to the level that it could. So that was pure from my own experiences and from conversations I've had in the past. And therefore, the MBA gave me the opportunity to test my theory. So that's how I got to that particular point. And then really nutting down, and that, because every business is going to exit in some shape or form. So I thought that was probably a good catalyst to use when conducted my research. And that's how I've got to that particular point.
Brilliant. And so you did your research and you got some key findings of your research. So could you sort of explain to the listeners what were those key findings?
So in summary, what I found that financial advisors are ineffective in working with entrepreneurs, especially around business exit, and exhibited little or no influence when working with them on that particular part of the business journey. There was clear detachment that was identified by all the interviewees who I sat down with. But just breaking that down a little bit further, I found that there were three key themes which come out of the study itself. The first one being the mindset of entrepreneurs when it comes to managing finances. And I use finances as a general term because obviously you've got your business finances and then you've got your personal, their personal finances by the side. And with that in mind, you know, I had 14 interviews and only one interviewee demonstrated to me that they correlated managing their business and personal finances. In other words, you know, making sure that how the business could help them personally is, you know, was being undertaken. It was very clear, speaking to the other entrepreneurs, who, by the way, are at various stages of the business cycle. You know, I spoke to, you know, a couple were only recently started their business. Others were in the growth phase, and other interviewees had successfully completed business exits as well. But that was a key finding I found in the first instance, that more in the majority, interviewees paid little attention to their personal finances. Very much business focused. Indeed, a couple of interviewees left their management of their personal finances solely to their spouse. Wasn't interested. Yeah. And what made me laugh, he literally had booked meetings with his wife twice a year just to touch base how their personal finances are going. But there was no real link to this, what was a very successful, what is, should I say, a very successful business in its own right. So there was a detachment there. Expanding a little bit further, a different type of dynamic, which must admit did surprise me somewhat when conducting the research, was that, you know, there's different types of financial exit, and financial harvest is a popular one. And basically, financial harvest is where, you know, an entrepreneur is looking to sell or exit his business at a maximum value. But what I found, whilst in some interviews had successfully completed a financial harvest or are aiming to do a financial harvest, whilst, you know, from one aspect they were looking to get maximum value for their business, from a personal reward perspective, it was more insignificant. So it wasn't so much the extrinsic rewards, like, you know, monetary gain. Intrinsic rewards was deemed as more important to them. So autonomy, recognition, independence, more drive. And, you know, one interview we exited for an eight-figure sum, she simply said the money is a financial scorecard. That's it. Yeah. It wasn't the key part for her. So multifaceted. So that's obviously the first key theme. Second was a demonstrable lack of knowledge and uptake of financial solutions by entrepreneurs, which could enhance the journey to business exit and outcomes. You know, most interviewees during the interview, you know, cited scenarios to me where they had opportunities to enhance their business and personal finances, which could be met by the help of a financial advisor and not other business advisors, say, for example, an accountant. So in areas like cash management, personal and business protection, use of tax shelters, and estate planning, you know, come up in our conversations. that could have been addressed, but for whatever reason, it didn't or hadn't occurred. Okay, and then another key point was around that particular subject was that's not entrepreneur. It's not that entrepreneurs do not want to learn. It was demonstrated in my research that they regularly, you know, increase their self-efficacy working with other business advisors, but none demonstrated they did that working with financial advisors. So there was a key theme there which came out. And the final one, and maybe unsurprisingly, but it did have some surprising aspects, was the poor reputation of the financial advice sector. So this could go back to the previous point, you know, why they don't work with, financial advisors to increase their knowledge. So, you know, it became apparent that the sector has an image problem compared to other business advisors like accountants or lawyers, for example. And that could be a couple of common scenarios where an interviewee had a bad experience with a financial advisor. One interviewee stated that, and this was at an early stage business, the advisor was only interested in investments rather than them as individuals. So they'll literally have one conversation and that was it. And that there is, let's face it, there has been some bad press. And I think that has stuck to our sector somewhat and has influenced opinions from those who read and absorb that type of information. But what surprised me a little bit was, you know, they extended to even those who actually work with financial advisors as well. So on a few occasions, I was told that the relationship was deemed with those who work with a financial advisor, it was felt that the relationship was reactive. It was transactional. He does my ISA, he does my pensions. And asking and probing whether or not they understood the ambitions of the individual with regard to their business, what type of business exit they're going to, etc. Exclusively, the answer was no. So it was that did surprise me in that respect. But again, it's also a call to action in some respects as well, because we, you know, they're happy to work with a financial advisor, but we could be do better, as they say. As my schoolmaster should say on numerous occasions. But then it didn't just extend to financial advisors, even to our regulator come under scrutiny. You know, there's a general feeling by a few of the interviewees who, again, worked with a financial advisor that, you know, they almost dreaded the suitability or advice reports, because all they do is, in the opinion of the interviewees, is protect the advisor over what they are looking for, indeed proactive advice. You know, they don't want 50-page reports, which, as one interviewee stated, blah, 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 I'm safe and here's what we're doing, basically. So it kind of demonstrated to me that it's from top to bottom that there's issues to face and address for the sector as a whole. But there were the three main brain themes and sub themes that come out of the research itself.
Brilliant. That was obviously loads there. And to part of the process, I also understand that you do what is called a literature review, where you're looking at theories and wider research. So in your literature review, you know, what would you say you learned from that exercise?
So the literature review was an interesting chapter, probably a most challenging chapter in some respects as well, because I quickly found out that there's basically no existing research on this subject. What I had to therefore decide to do was, well, okay, how do I get accumulate the research to support what I'm doing? So I looked at sort of research which kind of like satellite, this was like a satellite around my topic. So I broke that down into five, which was looking at research, at, you know, the motives of why an entrepreneur starts a business, the types of business exit. There's three, basically, which is financial harvest, stewardship, and financial and voluntary cessation. How entrepreneurs strategize, be it from conception to business exit. How entrepreneurs engage with business advisors. And then finally, the entrepreneurial aspect when it comes to financial literacy and well-being. On completing that, I was pretty confident I had a strong foundation then to for my research to feed off of and reference to thereafter in my dissertation.
Brilliant. And so you talked about the 14 interviews. So your sort of how you got your evidence, which is I think you described it as a semi-structured interview process. So firstly, for listeners, what does that mean, semi-structured interview process? And then secondly, did those interviews go to plan? Did you discover anything that actually gave you value of out of that process?
Yeah, so qualitative research is a research method where it's used to understand people's beliefs, experiences, attitudes, behaviors, and interactions. So the data is not numerical. It's about obviously what is being verbally presented to you. And then extending to semi-structured. So linked in with the subjects highlighted in the literature review, I entered each meeting with around 11 fixed questions around those various topics previously highlighted in the literature review. But so there's an element of rigidity to it, the structure, but semi-structured interviews allow you to probe further. Okay, so based on the answers received, you can then ask further questions related to that answer to attain increased data to help with what you're looking to achieve in terms of information gathering. Doing what I do as a financial advisor, to me, that was a logical approach. It's what I do on a day-to-day basis. So I found that quite straightforward to decide. And so in terms of the process, I think that it worked really well. And I found each interview quite straightforward in many respects, to the point where after 14 interviews, I'm pretty confident I had attained enough information so that I could then complete the analysis and findings. So I was, you know, it was definitely the right thing to do on this occasion. That's not to say that quantitative, which is numerical research, is a non-starter, but for my scenario, I think it was absolutely the right thing to do.
Brilliant. And just sort of thinking about the research, your findings, your observations, what would you say we should do as a consequence of the research that you've produced? What is our call to action as a profession?
So I think it's root and branch, to be honest with you, Eddie. Entrepreneurs, the SME sector is massive. And I'm of the opinion that our industry sector could do better. Individual advisors need to appreciate the mindset, the psychology of an entrepreneur, understand the different types of business exit, and identify the financial opportunities or planning opportunities which that presents. So therefore, there's an increase of knowledge that is required based on what I've learned from my research. You know, firms should adjust and adapt and present to the entrepreneur community that they are there to help them on their entrepreneurial journey. And whilst there are solutions out there, I think it could be improved. And it goes up to even trade bodies. You know, there used to be a professional exam dedicated to allow financial advisors to learn more about entrepreneurship and SMEs. It's no longer around. Again, I think that could be addressed. So it's generally, if the sector can present itself to be more focused on the sector, I think all round there could be rewards for everyone.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Now, there'll be some people who are listening who think that, you know, this MBA route sounds quite exciting, and they would be keen to sort of get your thoughts on what they should do, how they should approach it, and whether you would recommend it to friends and colleagues. So with that in mind, you know, what advice would you be giving them?
Go for it. Simple as that. I mean, it is a challenge, but it's also definitely fulfilling. And it also provides a different option or dynamic to traditional professional qualifications. And that's actually what attracted me to the MBA in the first instance. That dual aspect, and so that was a real good driver, and satisfaction, you know, getting your results, doing a graduation ceremony, being recognised for the effort you put in, it's really quite fulfilling. So no regrets at all in doing it. And the MBA gave me opportunity to assess how I work, you know, with entrepreneurs. I've tweaked my approach based on my findings. And hopefully my research can also influence the wider industry to do the same.
I think that's a really good point. So we always ask for sort of three great tips in terms of sort of studying for an MBA or an MSc. So what would your three tips be, having gone through that experience yourself?
So the first one is commitment. Course I undertook was 12 months. And when we attended the university for the inception, I was told that it was 600-hour commitment. And they were right. So it you do have to make some sacrifices. It's not one of these type of exams where you can cram it in the last couple of months. So I blocked out times in my diary. Typically, the first 2 hours of the working day was dedicated to my study. And I also lost a few weekends along the process as well. Didn't cycle as much. So I lost a little bit of fitness. My golf handicap has definitely suffered because of it. But the rewards on the other side were worth the sacrifice itself. Secondly, it may sound quite obvious, but choose a research subject which you're passionate about or, you know, have a strong interest in. So with my background working with entrepreneurs, there was a definite synergy there. And I actually especially enjoyed the interviews and research because I was generally interested in, you know, what their thoughts were around the research topic. And thirdly, use the resources which were made available. You know, I was provided a supervisor, who was superb, held me to account, gave me very frank feedback, and had a very good relationship with him. University also provides various resources to call upon if and when, which I also did, which was, again, made the process more simple and straightforward. But also the external resources. So I use literature to support my study. So I bought a book called Research Methods for Business Students, which was quite daunting when it landed, or should I say thumped on the doormat, because it's nearly 900 pages. But again, when writing my dissertation, wasn't sure how to, transmit my thoughts, I found it an essential and helpful tool along the way. So They would be the three main ones for me.
Brilliant. And traditional desert island disc fashion, as the waves come in and take away two of your great tips and only leave one, which one should we absolutely do?
It has to be commitment. It has to be. It's not one of these things you can do on a whim. You need structure. And whilst there are quieter periods throughout the process, if you disregard it in any shape or form and you find yourself in catch-up mode, you're probably going to struggle to finish the course. So you have to go in that with into this type of process with that understanding. And if you stick to that, then you'll be fine.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time today, Simon, and sharing your insights. Really, really informative. It's been great to catch up as always. So thank you. The content of this recording is strictly for general consideration only. No action must be taken or refrained from based on the content alone. Professional advice must always be sought. Accordingly, neither Technical Connection Limited nor any of its officers, employees or contractors can take responsibility for any loss occasioned as a result of any such action or inaction.